receive these tithes and offerings, High Priest Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I break the power of poverty and of sickness and of the curse off of the people, off of all of the body of Christ. And we thank you and we rejoice with heaven that Jesus is alive and he is worshiping the Father, and all of creation is worshiping him. And together we declare that Jesus is Lord over these tithes and offerings. Amen.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Say, I believe, and I receive the blessings of God. The blessings of the wind of heaven. Because the windows of heaven are open over me. The windows of heaven. They contain clothes dryers, clothes washers, dishwashers, relationships, friends, family, healing, prosperity, deliverance. Last week, John said that he felt like the Lord wanted me to speak today, so I'm pretty excited about it. You can see that our subject is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit, so many people have referred to him as an it, but I just encourage you, he is a person. It's a he, the Holy Spirit is he. And in the Godhead, there are three in one. We believe in one God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. Go ahead to the next slide, honey. He's the third member of the Trinity. Third member of the Trinity. God, the Holy Spirit. And it's so wonderful. They work in such unity together that really, if the Father thinks it, the Holy Spirit does it. If Jesus says it, the Holy Spirit does it. And Jesus says what the Father is saying. I mean, they're just one. One in a way we can't always understand. I love singing up here with Meredith and Philip. I think a day's coming that I'll be replaced, and I'll be sad about that day. But right now, I'm enjoying it because I'm learning to think with them. We're becoming a one voice to praise the Lord. And all of our church, I see y'all, I see all of us coming together as one voice to praise God. Well, that's how the Father, the Holy Spirit are one to praise God. Amen. Amen. So he's the third member of the Trinity. Now, in the theological studies, they say that there's a law called the law of first mention. And the law of first mention means the first time that word is used in the Bible has a significance and kind of sets the course for that word for the rest of the Bible. And so the law of first mention, using that, Genesis 1:2 is where the Holy Spirit is first mentioned. Now, the Old King James uses the term Holy Ghost. He's a spirit. Can't be touched or felt of with your physical senses. He's a spirit. So they called him the Holy Ghost. But the New King James says Holy Spirit, and I think that's a little more appropriate for our language today. Genesis 1:2 says, and the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, this is where the Holy Spirit was first mentioned in the Bible. So right away, Genesis 1, verse 2. And it's so interesting how the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Now, in the beginning, Jesus was referred to as the Word. And he wasn't called Jesus until he was born in his earthly body. So the Word, the Father, the Word, God, the Word, and the Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And the verse before said the whole earth was covered with water. So the Holy Spirit is hovering over the whole earth. And he's doing that. He's hovering. Who knows how long, because time was not in evidence at that moment. And then verse 3, Genesis 1:3 says, John, do we have that next slide, please? And God said, and there was. And so God said something, and the Holy Spirit made it happen. God spoke, and the power of God through the Holy Spirit made it happen. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be a firmament, there was a firmament. God said, let the waters be limited, and dry land appeared. And the Holy Spirit is making all this happen. He is very, very powerful, more powerful than we can comprehend. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, in the beginning, God had a relationship with individuals. Adam, Eve, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, his son Isaac, his son Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and Joseph. But after Joseph, Jacob / Israel had 12 sons, and they were all starving. There wasn't any food. There was a famine. And so Joseph had been supernaturally moved by God into Egypt, into a place of leadership. He was number two in the whole nation. And so his family, he made a place for his family to come to have food during the famine. And so all of those people came. That was over 100 people, the 12 sons and their wives and their children and maybe their grandchildren by this time, came to Egypt and began to live. And they stayed there over 400 years. During that time, God, we don't have record that God spoke to any of them individually. But after 400 and something years, God spoke to a man named Moses. So God's still dealing with an individual. But he said, Moses, I need you to lead my chosen people, the children of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, back to the land I promised to give them. I need a leader, and it's you. And you know, Moses had lots of excuses. But the point was, he obeyed God and led them back. And he took them out of Egypt all the way to a mountain called Mount Sinai. And the Lord said, okay, now I'm going to establish how you are to live as a nation. I'm going to teach you how to worship me. I'm going to teach you how to interact with each other. I'm going to teach you how to marry and how to stay married. I'm going to teach you how to deal with your children. I'm going to teach you what to do when sickness or disease comes up. I'm going to teach you what to do if there's sin involved, if there's sin between a man and a woman, if there's sin between neighbors. I'm going to teach you how to work with all this. I am going to establish you as a nation, and I'm going to be your God. And from that time, he basically spoke to the nation through the leaders, through Moses, and then after Moses, through Joshua, and then several others. And so he basically spoke to the nation through the prophets, through the priests, through the leaders, and then eventually kings. The Lord would speak, and that's how he worked with people. Samson, you remember his story. He was that strong guy. And it says in the Bible that the Spirit of God came upon Samson to give him great strength. So he didn't walk around with great strength all the time. It's just the Holy Spirit would come on him and give him this great strength. He killed a lion with his bare hands. One place he lifted up the gate of the city and carried it around They locked him out, so he just picked up the whole gate, you know. He had great strength. And the purpose of him having strength, God wanted to use him to deliver God's people from the enemy. Amen. Samson got all involved in some other things, but we don't need to go into that. Another person that the Holy Spirit came upon was David. And if you'll read in the book of Psalms, many of them say a Psalm of David, because God gave him, the Spirit of God would come upon him to worship. And so the Spirit of God was on him more than on other people. And he was a great worshiper and led in worship. In fact, he invented musical instruments that they didn't already have. He invented more to worship God with those instruments. You can read about that in 1 Kings or 1 Chronicles. He also was the Holy Spirit came upon him for great faith. Now you remember the story of David and Goliath, and how Goliath was threatening the army of Israel and saying, let's bring your champion out and I'll fight your champion. And whoever wins, that nation will serve the other nation. And Goliath was about 9 foot tall, and he was very strong and very intimidating. And he spoke words of intimidation. What's wrong? Are you afraid? Are you chicken? How come you won't come out and fight me? Send your biggest man. I can whip him. I can do it. I'll wipe the face of the earth with your blood. I mean, you know, he was just threatening them. So David comes to the camp. He wasn't even in the army. He came to bring some food to his brothers who were in the army. And he said, what's going on? And they told him. And then they said, go home, David. The children are at home. You go home. He said, well, wait a minute. And so he took the opportunity to allow the Spirit of God to come on him. And he listened to Goliath threaten the children of Israel and threaten the army. And he said, that man does not have a covenant with God. He's uncircumcised Philistine. He has no covenant. He has no God to back up his threats. He just has his own physical strength and his own weapons. But I have a covenant with God. And I and my God, he said this by faith. He said this with the spirit of faith. He said this with the Holy Spirit. My God can defeat this enemy. And so when he came out, no armor, no weapons except a slingshot. Now, when I was a kid, we went down to the 5 and 10 cent store. We bought these slingshots. We pulled back, put a little rock in there, or hoping no one would catch us. And we would shoot something, you know, pull back. But this was a different kind of slingshot. This was more of a piece of leather and kind of wide in the middle. That's where you put the stone. And then you pulled it up together like this. And you whirled it. And then you let go one end, and that stone would fly out. Hopefully, there was some practice involved here to the enemy. And so, you know, Goliath saw David coming, and he said, who are you? You're just a boy. You're nothing. I'll kill you and feed your flesh to the birds. And David said, no, you are uncircumcised. You have no covenant. I have the power of the living God on my side, and I will take your head from your shoulders through the power of God. See, the Holy Spirit came on him for the spirit of faith. And you know the story. David picked up a stone and let it fly, and it hit Goliath right here. Now, you understand this. If something hits with any power, it's going to knock things back, right? That's one of the third laws of Newton or something. Something in motion will stay in motion until it stopped. But it says in the Bible that Goliath fell dead on his face. He fell forward. Now, David hit him with a stone, and he fell forward. And I think it was that angel standing behind Goliath that just slapped him down. And here comes David with a sword and cuts his head off. He had the Holy Spirit working faith in his life. Another person was Solomon. We know that he was one of the richest, or he was the richest man in the world at that time, and the man with the most wisdom. And people would come from far and wide to hear his wisdom. Amen. You know that story, these two women, each of them had a baby, and one of them fell asleep and laid on her baby, and the baby died. And so the woman with no baby said, that's my baby, to the living baby. That's my baby. And so they came before King Solomon and said, that's my baby. She's trying to take my baby. And the other lady said, that's my baby. She's trying to take my baby. Whose baby is it? Well, they didn't have DNA tests at that time. But King Solomon said, well, here's how we'll settle this. Give me the baby. And he said, give me a sword. I'll cut the baby in two, and you can each have half. And the real mother said, oh, no. Let her have him. And by that, he knew who was the real mother. Great wisdom. The Holy Spirit came upon Solomon with great wisdom. But normally, the Holy Spirit just worked with the nation as a whole. And he had set up feasts, and he had set up different rules and different regulations as to how they were to live. Now, let's move on to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we've got Jesus, who was the Son of God, who was the Son of Man. He became a man. That's why he's called the Son of Man. He became a man. And he had a personal relationship with God, an individual relationship with God. Jesus knew God as the Father, and he lived a life of fellowship with God, perfect righteousness before God. He was able to access the power of God in everyday life. And what's my next slide? Yeah, just leave it right there. Jesus went through the painful, humiliating process of being made sin with the sin of mankind. He went through the torture of the crucifixion and the punishment of the afterlife suffered by those that don't believe and receive God's grace. But finally, after 3 days and nights, God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead. You see, because of the work of Jesus, now individuals can again have a relationship with God. That's where we are. We're on this side of the cross, Jesus' life. And we can be born again. We can be saved to new life, individuals. God doesn't speak to the nation of the United States. He speaks to individuals. He doesn't speak to the nation. And yes, there are prophecies to the nations, but I'm talking about God has finally brought things back so that he can have a personal relationship with you and me through the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next slide. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him, so it's talking about the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, so who raised Jesus from the dead? Holy Spirit. That's pretty powerful. If the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, or the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. So when you said, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and my Lord, I want to receive you, I want to be born again, at that moment the Holy Spirit came to live within you. You now have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? And he's giving life to you. He's giving life all the time. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Now, even in John chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? I can't crawl back inside my mother's womb and be born. And Jesus said, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. Amen? So this born again is crucial. It's salvation. It's number one. It establishes that God's giving a relationship. He's giving a call. Come, whosoever, come to me and be saved. And individually, we answer that. Amen? John can't answer for me. I can't answer for him. It's individual. Amen. You must be born again. Praise God. And I believe that we all in this room at this time are. And men were saved. Actually, their spirit was born again. You know, we're a three-part being. Our body that you see. Our soul, that's our mind, our will, our emotions, That's where we think. That's where we choose. We make decisions. Where we feel, our conscience, and then our spirit. And until we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, our spirit is dead. But when we do receive him, the Holy Spirit comes and makes us alive and stays with us. The Holy Spirit no longer comes upon you and then leaves, comes upon you and then leaves. The Holy Spirit, when you receive Jesus, comes within you and dwells in you, stays with you. Amen. Forever. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we believe in this church, the people that were pastoring before us, and we believe this, that there is a second experience after salvation. Salvation is wonderful. Salvation will take you to the presence of God when you pass from this earth. Praise God. But we believe there's a second experience to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said in John 20:22, he breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And when he said this, and Jesus told them, y'all wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, the filling of the Holy Spirit, comes. Of course, they didn't know what they were waiting on. And they waited and waited and waited about, I don't even know how long they waited in the upper room, until one day, it was the day of Pentecost. Go ahead, John. Acts 2:1-4 says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present, men and women, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So they're sitting there, they're praying. Jesus said, stay here. They're praying and they're waiting. And suddenly they hear a wind, a strong wind inside the house. And then they see flames of fire sitting on each person's head. And then they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that is they start speaking in languages they didn't learn and they don't know. It doesn't make sense to their minds or their ears, but they begin to speak in other languages. And the next thing that happened, they ran out into the street because it was the Feast of Pentecost, and there were a lot of people in Jerusalem that didn't live there. They were just there for the feast, and they spoke different languages. So they went running out into the street, speaking in tongues, and the people there said, well, I'm from this part of the country. How can you be talking my language? I hear you in my native tongue. What are you? How can this be? This was a miracle. This was a sign. This was a wonder. This gathered people together, and they said, what's going on? I hear them in whatever language. I don't even know what languages they spoke back then, but I hear them in this language. And he said, no, I hear them in this language. And he said, no, this guy's speaking this language. What's going on? Well, what were they saying? What were the people talking about in other languages? I'll tell you, they were telling the plan of God. They were telling that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the sent one, the Son of God, that he had come to earth, he had done the works of God, and then he had been crucified with the sin of all man so that man can be right with God. They were saying to these people, God will make you right with him. All you have to do is believe in Jesus, because he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He came back to life. And we saw him as he went up. His whole body rose up and went up into heaven. And he said, I'll be back to get you. I'll be back. And so all the people around were ecstatic. They were saying, this is new, this is news. See, that's God got their attention with these other languages and then preached the truth, the plan of God for the ages. Amen? Praise God. That gets me pretty excited. Now, the believers were filled with boldness and power. It took boldness and it took power for these things to happen. And they began to minister miracles and signs and wonders and the plan of God, the word of that, spread to many people, Jews and non-Jews. And they received the message and they were born again and they received the second experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I put a couple of examples. It says in Acts chapter 6 that the disciples chose 7 men to wait on tables, or they called them elders. Wait on tables, or deacons, what do they call them? Deacons, excuse me. And it says they chose Stephen, and described Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Did you know you need the Holy Spirit to wait tables, to clean up? You sure do. It makes it a lot easier. And they also chose Philip, and they chose some others. Go ahead, John. And then another place, the disciples came down and prayed for some people that they might receive the Holy Spirit. See, they had already believed in Jesus, but they prayed for them to have a second experience. I don't want you to say, well, it was only those 120 people in the upper room on Pentecost that had this second experience. No, it goes on and on about other people that had second experience. For as yet, the Holy Spirit had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Next. Ananias, this is the story of Saul / Paul. Ananias, laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Amen. And so there were several people listed in the Bible so that you don't think, oh, this only happened once. No, this is the normal. First you're saved, you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then you have a second experience of being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You might say, well, why should I be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because it opens the door, you're opening the door of your life to have boldness and power. Well, let me just read what I wrote down here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Expect the gifts of God to operate in you. If Jesus multiplied food, you can multiply food. If Jesus opened blind eyes, you can open blind eyes. If Jesus healed the incurable lepers, if he caused the crippled to be whole, you can do it too. Jesus preached, "The kingdom of God has come," and you should preach that too, with every word and every action. Now I put up here, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, how do you get it? Well, we're going to, number one, be born again. Number one, that's number one. If you pray for someone to receive the Holy Spirit, make sure they've been born again. Number two, we're going to follow the model that we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That is, ask God to fill you, receive by faith with thanksgiving, and begin to speak. Now, I've known a lot of people that wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they did not do the last step. They received the prayer, and they sat there or stood there, and they wouldn't move their mouth. They were expecting God to come on them so strong, and he would move their mouth. He's not going to move your mouth. You do. You do the speaking. I tell you, I had a hard time getting filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I had such a hard time because my mouth was connected to my brain or my mind. And if my mind didn't think it, my mouth wouldn't say it. Although there are many times saying we used to have, engage brain before you move your mouth or something. But anyway, I'm trying to show you that my mind wanted to control every word that came out of my mouth. And we're not talking about my mind, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your spirit will bring words out. But you have to do the talking. If you've ever heard John's testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit, were you asleep? Yeah, I think he was having a dream. And in the dream, he saw a Bible come up like this and open up to Acts chapter 2. And he saw a hand with a finger go down the line. Let me get that verse. Let me turn over here, Acts chapter 2, Praise God. I want to read it to you like he had it in the dream. And so this hand said, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The hand went away, the Bible closed, and went down. Second dream, same story. Bible came up, hand, finger, they were all, as they began to speak, they were filled, went away. Third time, same dream. So he got up at some point. I might not be telling this exactly right, but he got up and he thought, I don't understand this, Lord. But he said, I think I'm supposed to speak. And so when he started moving his mouth, he started moving his tongue, then the unknown language came out of his mouth. And so he said, oh, okay. So then he just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for a long time. And I'll let him tell you the rest of that story. With me, people would pray for me. They'd put my hands on their face. They'd put their hands on my stomach. They'd put their hands on my head. They would pray and pray and pray. And I'm just nothing, you know, nothing. Because I didn't speak. I'm just waiting for somebody to, like a puppet or something, move my mouth. I didn't speak. Finally, this one lady, so sweet, she went through the whole thing. And so she said, I'm going to pray for you. And so she put her hands on my face. And I was at least head and shoulders taller than she was. And I felt like a giant. And there she was praying for me. And I thought, oh, I hope it works. I hope it works. And so she prayed for me. And she looked at me and says, you're a hard one, aren't you? I didn't mean to be. I didn't want to be. Help me. And she said, okay, here we're going to go. Now you speak. And all of a sudden, then I was speaking a language I did not know and have been ever since. And I encourage you, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking tongues, keep speaking. Speak every day. Do it all the time. Say, Lord, I want to speak in tongues. And you might say, well, why should you speak in tongues? That seems kind of weird. We all speak English around here. Why do you want to speak in tongues? Well, number one, when you speak in tongues, when you pray in tongues, you're praying a perfect prayer because your own will and desire cannot influence it because you don't know that language, right? And so you're speaking a perfect prayer to God. There's another thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that said when you speak in tongues, you're speaking mysteries, meaning you're saying things you don't know. And when you say things you don't know in your spirit, then it comes up to your mind and you start knowing it. It's called revelation. You receive revelation. You receive understanding of the Word of God. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. And it's one of the gifts that God wants to give every believer. Every believer. So let's go through again. Be born again. Follow the model in Acts 2, 1 through 4 that says, ask God to fill you, receive by faith with thanksgiving, and begin to speak. Now, some of the old-time saints said you've got to tarry, because Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. Well, honey, the promise of the Father has already come. You're waiting in vain. Don't wait. Don't tarry. I know I heard one preacher say that some men were praying for him, and half of them said, hold on, brother. Hold on, brother. Hold on. The other half said, let go, brother. Let go, brother. He was kind of confused. What do I do? And so all of that's not necessary. It's just a matter of pray, believe, and speak. Pray, believe, and speak. Amen. What's our next slide? The purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you will have boldness. Click. And you will have power. So you can have boldness and power. You might hear some, you know, I'll give you a testimony about being in Walmart and speaking to this one or that one. And you say, I can never do that. I'll never do that. Well, I've got the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives me the boldness to approach people that I wouldn't approach normally. But when God has something to tell them, I'm willing to be a vessel. And the power comes not from me. I don't have anything special. The power is the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Amen? And he wants to do the same with you. And the last slide says, Colossians 1:27, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ is in you, which gives you the hope of his glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I'll give you the same opportunity I gave this morning. If there's anyone who would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray a prayer, and you just pray with me. If you don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, don't pray. Amen. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized, to be filled, to be overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. I want this second experience. I want the gift of tongues to operate in my life every day. I thank you for it. It's your will. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If there's anyone here that wants us to lay hands on you and agree with you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just let me know and we will do that, because we want to see you filled. We want you to have this boldness and power that we have, and we want you to be able to pray in tongues. Amen. And speak in tongues. It was so cute. Last Sunday, that little Iris came to church, and she didn't speak that much English, but after service, she said, I could understand everything he preached. So I think the Holy Spirit was interpreting to her, because it was almost what John was saying was almost tongues to her. She understood a few words and not all the other words. Yet the Holy Spirit was revealing and interpreting to her what was being said for her to be edified or to be built up. Amen. Amen. So if this is something you desire, we want to pray with you. We want to lay hands on you. And I'm just going to give you the opportunity right now. Come up here and we'll do it. If you're not ready, that's not a problem. All right. Praise God. All right, my brother, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. We might need a catcher or two. So in your mind, think about Jesus. You want to lead him in a prayer?
Father, I ask you for the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. The gift of the Holy Spirit.
And fill me.
Fill me.
With your Spirit.
Your Spirit.
And let him flow through me.
Let him flow through me.
And speak a different language.
Speak a different language.
Right now, in Jesus' name.
Right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now begin to speak.
Okay. Thank you, thank you, Santo Soka, Taka, Kaka, 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 praise you, Jesus. O kosia tala hatasa, bihi kaka kata sa ta 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 ta, ita ta 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 koso ta 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 kata, iba hata ta ta kisia ta ta, ola bahara nini nia hata ta 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 ta, so kosa tala bata. Think about Jesus. O rata sa ta sa ta, oh Jesus. O kosa ta ta ta, iba hata sa ta 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 ta, ika rata sa ta ta ta. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Ika kakata sa ta ta ta. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You read Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, they begin to speak. And his fingers taught the Lord, begin. If I don't ever begin to speak, I can never speak a language. Even English, you can't speak English unless you begin to speak. And people freeze like this, right? So you just got to speak, and being filled, your mind so you can control your tongue. The Holy Spirit has to help you when you first start. Then you learn how to swap from your brain, your mind, to your spirit. Because your spirit can speak through your tongue too. And most of the time, until somebody gets filled with the Holy Spirit, the only time you see them speak from the spirit is when they get real angry. Mm-hmm. It, that's not from the mind. It's the anger flows out of the spirit.
Yeah.
See, I'm giving you a natural. There's a natural way your spirit speaks through your tongue, and that's the way your mind speaks. See? And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you a language to your spirit, and your spirit speaking through your tongue. And that's what. And when you learn to swap from your mind to your spirit, then you speak a different language. Your tongue don't care. It will speak whatever your spirit gets it. It will speak whatever. And some people say, I can't speak. Oh, you can. Your tongue can speak any language.